sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are not moving a lot. Well, I always move a lot. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I am here today with
Mark Carr, Director of Operations for the team and buyer agent, helping people buy houses.
Yeah, and we've not really slowed down on that front, have we?
Do you know what? I have been amazed. We've been busier, especially on the buy side for the buying agents that we're working just nonstop. In fact, I heard, we have our morning huddle call, and it was, I think it was yesterday, you had said that the day before was the first day you did not work like all day.
All day and all night.
Yeah. And it was, and I went, yeah, me too. Like, it was the first time that there's been any kind of pause
right
since all of this, and then it picked right back up the next morning for me.
I mean, me too.
Yeah.
Which
I love. Right.
I'm not complaining.
No,
here's
way.
What I complain about. Are you ready, Mark?
Yeah.
Having to sit in front of a computer. That's what I love about my job.
Yeah.
Is the variety of work, mm-hmm. getting to meet people. And getting to know people. I love to get to know people.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I know you and I we kind of have that same heart of real estate is about people. You get into the lives of people. You're in the midst of kind of what's their dreams are, what's their passions are. You help them fulfill it. It's a very fulfilling work.
Well, and being empathetic and being able to kind of feel what they feel.
Yeah.
We get the pleasure of feeling all of the emotions of the real estate transaction while still keeping a business head on us. I think every single real estate transaction, I end up saying, well, that's where I come in.
Right.
Because you will get wrapped up in the emotion of it. And it's my job to keep it a business transaction so that you don't make decisions out of emotion.
Exactly. In fact, we had a closing here just recently where there was a lot of emotion throughout the transaction on both sides. I had the buyers on the side and the sellers. There was a lot of emotion. And this beautiful home, it came down to a pot filler. Anger over a pot filler in the kitchen.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff happening, and my hero of that day is with us today as our guest.
There you go. I was going to say, what a segue.
Yes. He was a hero in this of going in
our,
and fixing it.
Our guest today, who is our hero of the week, is Eric Howell of Eric's Plumbing. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. We have spent a lot of time together lately.
Yeah.
I'm at 6 foot or more distance. Of course, I mean, pardon me for saying this, but I usually keep 6 foot or more distance from a plumber.
Fair enough.
And I'm not alone, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But on that particular one, we sent Eric to mm-hmm. go bid what's wrong with his pot filler. A pot filler, for those of you who don't really quite know what that is, it's a wall-mounted faucet that is above the kitchen range, the kitchen stove, so that you can fill your pot without having to carry it across the kitchen. You can add water right from the stove, right?
Yeah, and it's like one of those bonus kitchen features that especially those who cook a lot really enjoy, because they can just fill the pot right there.
Yeah, super convenient. They don't have to carry it so far, especially with your distance between your kitchen sink and your stove. You don't want to carry it just right there.
Yeah, in this particular instance, it was just no one knew why it wasn't working. We were looking for a valve that was mm-hmm. not turned, and so we were scratching our heads.
So, Eric, take us through your steps of you went out to give us an estimate on that.
The catch on pot fillers, more than, say, like a lavatory faucet, is all pretty much exposed. It's mounted on the countertop, but it's exposed. So the water lines are underneath the cabinet. You can turn those off. You can kind of diagnose it a little bit easier. A paw filler is 100%. It's screwed into the wall. So when we first went out there to take a look at it, we wanted to give an accurate bid, but we had to figure out if it was the water line that fed the pot filler that was not working right, or if it was the pot filler itself. So in that particular case, a lot of times we can't give you a price on how to fix something unless we actually kind of take it apart and take a look. And on this particular one, it ended up fixing it because we were able to find a bunch of the buildup that was inside of the faucet that was actually clogging the faucet, kept it from working.
Which is amazing that we can have that much buildup that wouldn't even let it dribble water out of there.
Oh, yeah. We get a ton, especially when the city works on the main. Sometimes they get a lot of junk that gets in the water lines. It'll clog up those aerators. And you'd be surprised how much that little fine stuff can just clog up those aerators. And all it is you can unscrew it and sometimes clean it off and get lucky with it.
So in our pot filler case, I know that like it hadn't been used, I think, in like a couple years.
Is that
what this non-use has that buildup?
I don't know if it was because of that or if they stopped using it because it clogged up. They didn't say. I was under the impression from them it had been longer than 3 years before they had used it last. So it could have been both. Because normal, on a normal faucet, you use a lot more often. If you do get junk in there, sometimes it does wash out. But on a pot filler, if you don't use it that often, yeah, it just has longer just to sit there and kind of build up.
So one estimate call.
Yeah.
And a very, very minor bill later. And we have a real estate transaction that was going south that did not go south.
Right. And everyone ended up very happy. It was great. But that's the emotion. That's just we can get a lot of emotion into these transactions and where it comes down to one issue. And a lot of times it's plumbing.
Well, and I want to talk about the bill.
Yeah.
The bill for that. Okay. Whose responsibility is it to pay the bill? And who has the right to call someone out to work on a house? Because I'm really, really strict about that. In our office, I'm going, no, you can't order work done on a house. You can't even get an estimate without first asking the homeowner permission for an estimate. We just have to have the permission of whomever owns that house to check it out, because like Eric, like you just said, you kind of have to take it apart, right?
On a pot filler, yeah, that's pretty much the only way to do it.
And to find out what's the matter with it. Well, we've run into many instances where a contractor might take it apart, but then not put it back together. And that's a problem, whether it works or not. I mean, people want their thing put back together. I'll bet you in my career I have had 200 furnace fronts left off during inspections. They take the furnace front off the cover in order to check to see if the heat exchanger's cracked or the flame is the right color or whatever they're checking in there, right? And then the people come home, the owners of the property or whoever's residing in that home, and they end up saying, my heat doesn't work, or my air conditioner doesn't work. A lot of those don't work. If you don't have the cover on them, they will not kick back on. And I don't think anyone does that on purpose, but right. They just forget to go back to do it. That's why we work with the home inspectors we do. I mean, we've got Redbud.
Mm-hmm. And call us first.
And I've been on the phone with both of them more than once this week asking, the buyer wants to know, is there decking in the attic? Mm-hmm. How much decking in the attic? And he kind of rewinds. This was Steve Bennett with mm-hmm. Redbud. And he did such a good job of helping us explain this to the buyer as to exactly what all the things on the inspection report were, and there weren't that many things on the inspection report, but they were still concerns to her. So our vendors, like Eric with Eric's Plumbing, help us hold our real estate transactions together by being the experts we need at the time. Eric, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about why does a water heater cost so much? because everyone is, if you're old, you remember the $199 special at the hardware store. And when someone starts quoting you $1,600, you're in shock. And you have that home alone face where with your mouth open, trying to figure out what to do about it. So when we return, we are going to talk about those things with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins.
And Mark Carr.
And Eric Allen.
There you go.
MLS number 196895.
We want to welcome Mr. Dean Riddell to our show, our money man. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Becky. How are you?
Doing great. Boy, I'll bet I know you've been busy because I've passed by your office and you're there at midnight. So,
you know, it has been crazy, and you know, a lot of it's obviously rate driven, business driven, purchase driven. And a lot of it too is industry changes, Becky. There's just a lot of changes going on that are as a result of the crisis we're in, that you're seeing appraisal requirements back off. You're seeing tax transcript requirements back off. It's just a different dynamic that you have to stay involved with.
Well, that would be a welcome relief to have the tax transcripts back off. So
yeah. We are busy and blessed, but it's still a great time. Y'all are still selling houses.
That we are.
That you are.
Yes, we are. we think it's really funny that our production is just slightly above what it was last year at this time. And
that's incredible, you know, in light of what's going on. But it also speaks to Movers as a whole and what you do, because people are engaged and you got a great team and you got a great following. And so sometimes you wonder, in a crisis environment, are people really looking? Well, people trust people, and that's the key.
Well, how much refinance are you doing, Dean?
You know, probably 60% of my volume, 70% of my volume today is refinance activity. And Becky, I think people need to look at it. I mean, I told probably 10 people on the phone yesterday, I'm not telling you you need to refinance. I think you need to look at it, because it can be a great opportunity to restructure someone's debt load, monthly expenses. There's one lady I'm helping, and she called to reduce her house payment. We started getting into it, and this is reasonably, she's reducing her debt load $900. And you would have thought her monthly debt, you would have thought, you know, Christmas came. But it's, now's your opportunity to reset, restructure, regroup, and take a look at your whole budget, not just the house.
Well, and our qualification is going to be affected. And I fear that we're going to get back into 2008 if they relax the qualification for loans too much. Because people are going to have gaps in employment. They're going to have lost their jobs. They're going to be behind on bills. And so they're going to have late pays. So what do you see on that?
You know, there's the biggest uncertainty, and it's still up in the air. Lenders, you know, and I'm encouraging the people that call me that have lost their job, been furloughed, to call their servicer. So if we have their loan, they're calling our servicing division. If it was someone they didn't know, I'm telling them to call their mortgage company, because there are forbearance programs out there. And so that's the one thing I would encourage, you know, your team to get the word out to people too. If people are being laid off, furloughed, be transparent, call their servicer and let them know what's going on, because the servicers are tracking that that volume of people as well. But there are forbearance programs out there that are going to help the consumer, whereas in the old days, Becky, when we said forbearance, it would hurt their credit. Today, I don't think it's going to. I mean, I think there'll be a period of time, there'll be a forbearance plan that will not affect their credit. But then it gets into the question you were just talking about. Well, so what's that going to do in a Fair Credit Reporting Act 6 months from now when they are on paper showing paying as agreed, but maybe they were in a forbearance program for 90 days? I think we're still in the early stages of how all this is going to shake down. I really do.
Do you know, we have a commercial loan on an office that we own, and we went in and asked, it was time to actually redo the loan. You know how they roll over, the commercial loans do. They'll give it to you for so many years, and then you've got to restructure your loan. And the time of that was about 2 weeks ago. And so we did that. And when we talked to the bank and they looked at us and said, are you guys interested in like not making a payment for 90 days? And my daughter and I own this business together. And we said, Emily, I'm okay. And she said, man, I would be interested in that because I have almost $100,000 a month payroll. And any help I can get so I can keep paying my people is awesome.
Right.
So you can delay your payment on things for like 90 days. Now, you still have to pay that. It goes on at the end of your loan. And that just took a lot of anxiety away from her. And I thought that was worth it.
Right. And some of the, on the lending side, mortgage lending side, depends on loan type, and so if you've got a government loan, how are they going to treat that forbearance? If it's a conventional loan, can they do a modification? Modification, or, you know, you've heard me talk about a recast before, but that's basically called a loan modification. So in a conventional Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac environment, doing a loan modification to recast or restructure 3 months, 6 months, would not be a challenge. It's more of a challenge on the government loan. As you know, they're in MBS pools, and so the servicer's got to pass through that principal and interest portion of the payment monthly, regardless if that customer's in a forbearance plan or not. And so it now that pendulum kind of swings where it can impact the mortgage companies too.
Well, here's my advice to everyone. If you need a restructuring of your loan, your mortgage, talk to Dean. I'm going to give you his phone number, and I encourage you to just call and talk to him. Most people think, oh, well, I'll go back to Wells Fargo, or I'll go back to wherever else, you know, any other lender, because they will qualify me because I've always made my payments on time. The fact is, there is no loyalty on staying with your lender. Zero. There's no incentive to stay where you are. So go somewhere where you trust. I trust Dean Riddell, right. SWBC Mortgage. Matt in his office is also fantastic. So call Dean's number, which of course is 405. It's 858-7770. 858-7770. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, and then we've got Eric Howell here. And Eric, we took up almost the whole time talking about this refinancing structure, which is really important for people to know.
Everybody's thinking about it. And kind of what you always say is just be proactive. Talk.
Yes.
Go, you know, get and just call Dean, have a conversation. I was talking to my buddies last night through Zoom. We're doing Zoom calls with each other to try to keep, you know, just in contact. So it's not social distancing. It's physical distancing. We're still socializing. And they said one of them's like at a 4.4. I was like, well, call Dean.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Call Dean Riddell. Call us. We will direct you where you need to go to get repairs done, to get your refinance done. Yeah. Whatever help you need, if you just need to talk to somebody in the real estate business, call us 722-3232. We're going to be here right after the break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is a wonderful morning in Oklahoma City.
It's a little cold for me, Becky.
Well, I know.
Winter came back.
I'm ready for that. We had 92 degrees earlier this week, and now we're at whatever. It's not warm. But it's still a good day, and it's a good day for Casa Perico Mexican Grill. I wanted to tell you guys, if you call them and purchase gift certificates, it's 20% off. So for $40, you can get $50 in gift certificates. I really encourage you to do that.
We had dinner. We went and got dinner, I guess, two nights ago.
We did too.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So we got enchilada de rajas.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I got chile relleno.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But it was great. They had it all packaged up and just pulled up and picked it up, and it was
stick it in there, and they'll put it right in your car. You just open your car door. So Casa Perico Mexican Grill is at 122nd and Penn, and then on 63rd
near Meridian. Yep.
It's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to help you through an insurance claim, to find every little thing the matter to put on that insurance claim, or to just fix a small repair. Whether it's commercial or residential, you can trust Robbins Roofing. 728-3700. 728-3700. You know, they're so good over there. They helped me with an insurance claim that had nothing to do with a roof this week. Because I'm going, how does this work? And they showed me how to submit to the insurance company on a property that I manage for some folks. So our word of the day today, Eric Howell of Eric's Plumbing. Are you ready? It's plumber.
I'm ready.
Okay.
A plumber, definition from Wikipedia, is a tradesman who specializes in installing and maintaining systems used for potable drinking water, sewage, drainage, and plumbing systems.
Okay. Why is plumber spelled with a B? P-L-U-M-B-E-R.
A little known fact, another definition of plumber is basically someone who works with lead in the periodic table of elements. Lead is PB as its symbol.
So that's why you put a B in plumber.
That's why the silent B is in there.
Okay, plumber.
Plumber. Right?
Plumber.
Love our English language.
If you have a question for our plumber, do give us a call. 840-1000, 840-1000. And that's our listener line. We welcome you to call in and talk to our plumber, Eric's Plumbing. And if you want Eric's number or any other of our repair people, you know, people get real confused about repairs, don't they, Mark?
They do. I mean, it can just seem overwhelming.
Who do you call?
Yeah.
I mean,
where do I go to? Yeah. How do I get the right information?
The folks on my list are the people I actually use and have used for many, many years. They don't get on there by accident. And they don't pay anything to get on my list. My list is called Becky's Favorites. They're just my favorite vendors. And Eric Howell is one of my favorites. You worked for another company before you started your own. Mm-hmm. And you were the one I requested every time I called for the plumber. I would say, send Eric. So that's good, right?
It's been a few years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you ready to take a phone call?
Sure.
Okay. Good morning, Barbara.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I had a question. I'm getting ready to not rent a house anymore and was going to sell it. And I wanted to put a new toilet in and didn't know if it would be better to put a regular height toilet or the taller toilet? What's better?
Between the two, we've put in a lot more chair height toilets. People just find them easier to get on and off. If it's a smaller bathroom, you might go with the regular height, but for the most part, you're not going to go wrong with the chair height toilet.
And do you know something, Barbara? I think the bigger question is, do you put a round or elongated toilet in there? Because
kind of like he had said, it is a little bit small of a bathroom. I don't know. I'll have to check where the door opens because it sits. It's the first thing in the bathroom when you open the door. The toilet is immediately to the right.
If you to check that, the toilet that's in there, go by you, and is it round?
It currently is round.
Okay. You can buy you an elongated toilet lid. Don't even take it out of the package. And set it on there as though it is a... you're installing a toilet and see what the door does.
Oh, gotcha.
If it clears, put in the nicer toilet, which is the elongated. If it doesn't, you don't want a knee knocker for that door.
True.
Right?
Yep, definitely. Yes. Right. Not just that door, but also just the clearance in front. Because it's not, you can walk by, but you're also someone's going to have to sit on it. So they need that room as well. Just in case there's a wall in front of that toilet where they sit.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I also have another question. Do you have time?
Yes. Go for it.
Thank you. On my toilet at my house, we didn't flush it for a long time because we were remodeling. So the water sat there a couple of months. And then it left a ring, a water stain, and I've not been able to get that out. So one part of the question is, do you know of some type of a cleaner? I've tried numerous things to get that water stain line off, or is it possible for me to change out the bowl of the toilet without having to change out my tank because I like the tank design?
If it's a new enough toilet, it should have the model number either on the underside of the tank lid or inside the tank itself. And then by that, we can look it up and see if they still make it or if they don't make it, but we can still get it. That's definitely a possibility.
Oh, okay. And where is that number?
Usually it's on the underside of the tank lid, but more often than not, it's imprinted on the tank itself on the inside of the tank.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, well, that's a very good question.
All right. That's all I've got.
You know, Eric is helping remodel a commercial building where I serve on a board, and he is we're installing toilets, and it was discussed, how do you get rid of that tank and the stuff inside it that's just a constant problem, because we end up wasting so much water because the little flapper doesn't go down, the chain gets hooked on something. Mm-hmm. And what did you suggest, Eric?
Well, I had suggested if they were interested in doing a commercial toilet where you'd have a commercial Sloan valve on top that doesn't have a tank. It's just it uses pressure, not an actual reservoir of water to flush. Those last a lot longer. But again, they don't waste as much water, and they just work better.
But the problem is that the incoming line in a house of water supply is usually how big?
Usually it's about 3/4 for the most part, maybe 1 inch. And on those flush valves, you need about a minimum of 1 inch to feed all of those. So on yours, it worked out perfect because you've got a big line that services that building. But on most residential, it's probably not big enough for something like that. It's still a possibility if we put some pressure tanks on there. So it's like a miniature pressurized tank for that water. But for the most part, usually it's for commercial use.
Right.
So I have so much frustration with those toilets, like the inside of the leak, all the, like, I just want to take a hammer to them. Mm-hmm. Like, they,
well, that's not
going to
help
me.
Mark,
I know it,
but if you hit it with a hammer, then that'll help me,
right?
Then I can
correct.
Help you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and that, so toilets, is there anything new in toilets?
When they first came down with that rule that all toilets have to use 1.6 or less, they went about in all different directions on how best to use that 1.6 gallons flush. So they've always been coming up with different ideas how to get the water faster from the tank down to the bowl and still flush good, still keep it clean. So there's some companies out there that have done it. Generally, I like to put in Kohler toilets and American Standard toilets. I think they've done the best with using that same amount of water to flush the best.
Well, and if some jobs are little, some jobs are big. If you've got a big job when you're in the bathroom, flush halfway through, right?
It's a public service announcement.
It is a public service announcement. Flush. Because, yeah. Especially my tenants out there listening, please flush halfway through. And something else that people don't seem to know is a very basic design of a toilet. Eric, how often should you flush a toilet if it's stopped up?
If it's stopped up, you should not flush it any.
Okay, but right, because the tank holds the same amount of water that's in the bowl. So if you flushed it once and it's kind of full because it stopped up, don't flush it again. It will overflow.
Yeah,
right?
And that just makes it worse because then it's still not flushing right, and then it's all over the floor as well.
Yeah, and that's not what you want on the floor. Yeah. Okay. We promised everyone we're going to talk about water tanks and what type, how do you get more water more instantly, and how do you keep the cost down on what we're doing. And we're going to return and talk about hot water tanks and our smoking hot deals right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, and I welcome you to the show. Thank you for listening. I am here with Eric from Eric's Plumbing and Mark Carr from my office. He's been taking people on virtual tours of homes and actually selling them, so that's pretty awesome. Okay, Ann, we've got another call for you. Eric Howell from Eric's Plumbing. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
It must be Providence because I just had a water heater go out today. So I'm loving this topic today. Do plumbers give free estimates for the cost of repairing, replacing a water heater?
Well, guess what? Not all plumbers are alike. Let's see what our plumber, my favorite plumber, what do you do, Eric?
Generally, it kind of depends on the size of the water heater. I can give you a starting price, but it kind of depends on size-wise, where it is in the house, if size-wise of the water existing water heater, if we need to do any code updates, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to upgrade to like a tankless, you've got all kinds of options, so.
Oh,
there's not just one
well,
set
this
price.
Particular situation is 40-gallon, and I don't believe it's up to code as far as the height from the floor, and it's in a little room off of a hallway inside.
Inside the house?
Yes, ma'am.
If it's inside the house, generally you're not going to have to raise it up. It's usually that's just for life. It's in a closet, like in the garage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because Alrighty. The reason for that is gas fumes could explode that pilot light, right?
Yeah, they're trying to get the distance in between the bottom of the hot water tank where your pilot is and any flammable substances or the fumes from those from like a gas tank or a gas can or something. They're trying to keep a distance from those so they don't ignite.
Mm-hmm.
But inside the house, generally you're not keeping a gas can in there, so they don't require that you raise that up.
Don't keep paint in your water heater closet. Right?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Don't keep paint in your water heater closet. Anything flammable should not be in your water heater closet.
Okay, that's good advice. Could I get your number, Eric? And I have another question, too, please.
Oh, sure. It's 405-514-9818.
9818.
514-9818.
All righty. Thank you. And the other day you did a program on landlord-tenant things, and I was wondering where I could get a copy of the regulations for landlord-tenant
legality. That is an awesome question, Ann. You go to, I think it is OREC.com. It's Oklahoma Real Estate Commission. Gov,
I think it's
maybe.
Dot, I think it's dot gov.
Or dot okay, dot yeah. gov. I've got it just a link. So, but just type in your Google bar, Oklahoma Real Estate Commission. Over on
Oklahoma
the right hand.
Oklahoma Real Estate Commission.
And then on the right hand side of the page, once you get to that, oh, just click on their website. On the right hand side, you're going to have, it's going to say landlord tenant. And there, it's like a 21 or 22 page document. And it's real easy to read. And it's a great resource. So thank you so much, Ann.
You said you love Casa Perica in the cool weather. I think you love Casa Perica in any weather.
I do. But I order different things at different times of the year. good observation, Ann. Eric, we've only got about another minute. Tell us what we need to know about hot water tanks.
Well, like you said, you had mentioned earlier, kind of the sticker price on a hot water tank install. They're constantly updating code requirements for what we have to do when we replace tanks. The cost of water heaters in general has just gone up in the last couple of years, at least $200, give or take, in the last couple of years. The size of a hot water tank has changed in the last couple of years. They changed the requirements about 3 years ago. That basically what it does is it puts more insulation around the water tank. What that means for you and me is it's 2 inches wider generally on most tanks. So if you're in an older home where you've got a 40-gallon, it might be 18 inches wide. But a new hot water tank, same 40 gallons, it's going to be 20 inches wide. That's a problem if your door is, say, 19 inches. So kind of presents some interesting situation. So it all just kind of depends on what we've got to do to bring it up to code.
Well, so call Eric, 514-9818. Okay. Give us a call if you need any help this week. And we are at 722-3232. Eric with Eric's Plumbing, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And Mark, thank you for coming. We'll see you guys next week. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.